Okay, good afternoon, almost. Good morning. I am told that we have to finish by 12:15, 12:20, which is just fine for me. My name is Shalom Holtz, and before I start, I have to acknowledge the presence of Rabbi Carmi here, who is, I guess, my boss. On a different, completely different place, the principal, my elementary school principal, Rabbi Aaron Brander, is in the audience. As I say every time, some of these things happen every once in a while to me, and I say, Ashrehem Yisrael Shegdolehem Lemedim Mitanehem. It's a great honor for me to have them in the audience. Before we get to meeting our character, Yochanan ben Kareah, who I suspect is new to some people at least. In the room. Some of the people in the room, it should not be new because you were in my class last semester, and if it is new, then maybe we should talk. I think that many of you don't know, haven't heard of him. If you have, great, with new insights into him. What we should do is first is turn to the last page of the handout, where I have two selections from Sifrei Chazal. I apologize for the ordering. They're over there. I'm sorry. The last page of the handout, number 3, Roman 3, Yochanan ben Kareah be'enei Chazal. This is a vestige from, I guess, my elementary school days, but I still write about things in Hebrew. We have two different two main lines. He appears twice in Sifrei Chazal. Pretty much, you know, it's not twice in terms of times. It occurs rather a few times if you plug it into a computer. But if you do a Bar Ilan search and look at Ishai HaTanach and things like this, there are basically two directions that Chazal took when looking at him. And when I say two directions, I mean almost two opposite directions. If you look at the Bavli and Masechet Nidah, referring to Perek Mem Aleph, Pasuk. If you can find it before me, please let me know. Pasuk Tet, okay? The Bavli quotes the Pasuk, Hu Habor, Shalilei Yishmael Benetniach Ha'alim, Dichtiv, Vehabor Asher Ishnisham Yishmael, Et Kol Pigrei Anashim Asher Hikah B'Yad Gedalia. So the Pasuk actually says that Yishmael, who will figure out who he is in a moment, who is the murderer of Gedaliah ben Achikam. Okay, I guess I should bring you into the story. This is the story of Tzom Gedaliah, pretty much, right? Gedaliah ben Achikam is murdered by Yishmael, and Yochanan has something to do with it. Bigvara begins by quoting the Pasuk, and it says that Yishmael kills, Yochanan kills these people and fills it up with, Yishmael places all these dead people in this pit. But what's interesting to the Gemara is Asher Biyad Gedaliah. It seems as though this word Biyad is a little bit strange, and so their understanding of it is that the text seems to blame Gedaliah in some way, at least that in their reading. And I'm not going to get into the meanings of the word Biyad now. I just say that the Biyad is a difficult word there. B'chi Gedaliah Haragan, was it Gedaliah who killed them? B'halo Yishmael Haragan. Let's put the blame where it lies. Yishmael is the one who killed them. Gedaliah had nothing to do with it. Since Gedaliah was supposed to listen to Yishmael, Yochanan ben Kareah, but did not, the murders to Gedaliah himself. He didn't have to accept this. Rabbi at least should have lachush, right? So if I ask you now, Yochanan ben Kareah, just reading this Bavli and Masechet Nidah, where does he fall on the positive-negative side of things? Okay. Pretty positive, right? Gedaliah should have listened, right? And he didn't, and therefore he is at least somehow tangentially responsible, associated with the death of, with the murder of these people. The other side of it is in the Yerushalmi. I just brought the Yerushalmi. There are numerous other versions of both sides of this, but I just took the easiest. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Adato shel Yochanan ben Kareah, Ein lahen chelek la'olam haba. Okay, so that's certainly puts us on the other side of the story, right? Yochanan ben Kareah and his posse have no share in the world to come. They quote a pasuk in Hosea, and then Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yehuda, Chad Amar lo galu ad shenasu arimim, V'charana Amar lo galu ad shenasu mamzerim. Right, one or the other, either they were. I don't quite know the I'm not going to go into the anatomy of all this or the yichus and all of this, but whatever happens, there was some kind of a negative mark on their character. So here we have Yochanan ben Kareach, really on the pole, almost on the other side, right? There's nothing worse than Sifrut Chazal than Eino Chelek La'olam Haba, and he gets it. Okay, so the question that we're going to try to understand is, or at least whether or not we, you know, whatever we do with the Sifrut Chazal, I'm just putting Chazal out there as our as the lens that brings us into the question of the controversial nature of Yochanan ben Kareach's character. Right, since our theme is controversial characters, it seems to me that there's pretty much a controversy about him. I just want to show you the controversy, and now get to the question of why. What is it that leads to this controversy? What are, generally speaking, we point to some ambiguities, perhaps. Perhaps we can talk about some developments in his character over time. Most of what I'm going to present to you here today, you can find in an article by Yair Hoffman, who has written a brilliant commentary on Sefer Yirmiyahu. The title of the article is Akosha on the Saper Befarshat Yirmiyahu Betosateha. It's in Yunei Mikrao Farshanut, Volume 5, pages 103 and following. So much of what I'm saying here I derive from Yair Hoffman. The chidushim are not, there aren't terribly many chidushim here today. I apologize if that was what you were hoping for. But if you read Hoffman already, then you're certainly welcome to go hear somebody who's not talking about him. Okay. What I'd like to do now, since Yochanan is not exactly on everyone's radar screen, certainly the texts aren't that familiar, take that clock there. Why don't we take 10 minutes, or let's go till 10 to 11, to 10 to 12, 10 to 12, they changed the clock, 10 to 12, and read read item 1, which is basically the four, you have a selection from Mem, Mem Aleph, Mem Bet, and the beginning of Mem Gimel, in Sefer Yirmiyahu. Read these three, read those selections for yourselves, or with your friend, or however you want to read them, skim them, scan them, and if you have a pen or a pencil, this would be great. Write down next to each parak, right? So for Mem, Mem Aleph, Mem Bet, and Mem Gimel, the answer to the, or the, sort of your assessment of three issues. Number one, who is the main character in each unit? Okay, and I'm going to save those are the units for us. Okay, I know that that's part of Tanakh is to break them into units. Today we don't have time for that, so I'm telling you these are the units we're going to deal with, right? So number one is who is the main character in each unit? Number two, can you identify good versus evil characters in each unit. Okay, who represents good and who represents evil? They may not be the same people as the main characters, but there should be, in each unit there may be, or there ought to be, a good versus evil character. And three, just, you know, because we're on Yochanan, where is Yochanan in all of this? Okay, what is his role? Is he the main character? Is he not? And what is, he characterizes his role. So again, three main points you should be looking for when you're reading right now. One, who is the main character? Two, good versus evil. In other words, who's the good versus the evil character? And three, where is Yochanan ben Kareach? Okay, we'll reconvene at 10 to 12 and start our discussion then. Okay. So let's situate ourselves, first of all, historically, so you, if you read it already, where this is the end of Sefer Yirmiyahu. Okay, what events have taken place prior to this? This may not be apparent from the story itself, but Yeah. Galut Bavel has taken place already. Churban Habayit has taken place already as well. Right? We're after 586. Just how much after is actually... we don't actually hear how long this whole story takes. Right? It's interesting to see. You know, you have this. You have one date, which is the Chodesh HaShvi'i. Right? Which Chodesh Shvi'i we're talking about is actually up for... You know, how many months or years after... Korban Habayit is actually up for, at least from the point of view of the text itself, we don't really know. We'll leave that aside to put that out there as a question. And so what has happened, let's start at the beginning. Who's the main character in Perek Mem, or the part that I've read for you from Perek Mem? We read from Perek Mem, sorry? Gedaliah, good, okay, Gedaliah ben Achikam ben Shafan. Ben Shafan, okay, and what is his job? What is his role? What is, I mean, not in the narrative. What is his position?
Sorry? He's a governor, right? He's appointed by whom? By the Babylonians, right? They are the new power in the region. Well, not so new anymore, but by this point they've taken over and local. So he's the local appointee. Okay. I wouldn't say he had vice regal status. It doesn't sound like he has that, but he certainly is up there. Just some background. He's from a pretty illustrious family. Okay. He's from the family of Shaphan. Okay, who were, we have numerous B'nai Shaphan mentioned in Sefer Yirmiyahu as being part of a of the court, right? They were not Beit David, okay? They were not the Melachim themselves, okay? And it's specifically not who is from Mizera HaMelucha. Yishmael is actually Mizera HaMelucha, which, you know, if we're playing murder mystery, we have a motive, right, for why he wanted to do this, yes. The B'nai Shaphan are mentioned in numerous places. It looks like they were part of actually a pro-Babylonian faction in Yerushalayim, perhaps even in the royal court within that system. So that there he is, Gedaliah ben Achikam. Where are we geographically? Just so we can ignore that part of things. Where is he? Mitzpah, right? So just slightly north of Yerushalayim. We're not in Yerushalayim anymore. Although Yerushalayim is apparently still functioning, as we'll see, right? How do we know that? Do you remember? We need to get that far. If you look, sorry.
I wanted to do an Olah.
Exactly. Well, not an Olah, actually. I mean, Pat, right? If you look on page in the next parak in parak Mem Aleph, Pasukei Mishchem Mishlo Mishamron Shmonim Ish Umincha Olevona Biadam Lavi Beit Hashem. What this Beit Hashem is at this point, who knows? Right, but it's interesting to see that there's something going on even afterwards. Some medieval parshanim interpret it as some kind of a ritual of mourning over the Churban. Right, go to the site and you perform whatever you can do. Right, imagine yourself right in Tisha B'Av 585. Right, a year later, what do you do? By the time of Zechariah, we know that they were fasting. Right, because Zechariah mentions that they had Soma Hamishi, right? The fast of the fifth month. So we know that by that point there was something that the fast had been established. Is this the proto-fast or part of that fast? Just interesting to see that Yerushalayim is still somehow important. Or Beit Hashem is somehow important. Okay. So we're in Mitzpah. And so the next question we have to ask is, so Gedaliah is clearly the main character. What does he do in Perek Mem? What makes him the main character? Excuse me? He takes charge. How does he take charge? He's right there. Where does he take charge?
Right there. He says.
What pasuk?
In Yud Yudala.
Very good. Right. So first of all, he takes an oath. Right. He sees himself as a servant of the people. Okay. Vayishava lahem Gedaliah al tirgu me'avot kastim. So what's his position in terms of political? What is his political stance? Sorry. Cooperation, right? This is the Yirmiyahu's, at least one of his lines in Yirmiyahu takes is that, you know, we're supposed to that Yisrael, Yehuda should subject itself to Bavir. So Gedaliah is, you know, that's his part of the function of his employment, right? His employer. Probably, there's probably a chicken and egg thing going on here, right? He was appointed because he was pro Babylonian and he's pro not say it's a bad thing. It's just, you know, we have to think of it as to what's motivating him. It's all there. Survival. Very good. Right. This is very much. We're very much in the mode of survival. It's an important point. And he's not just local. It seems to be everybody seems to be coming back to him. Right. There's a Galut, the Moab, Bnei Amon, Bnei Edom, and Yud Aleph. Now they heard that there's a Sheirit Yehuda. Okay, and so they come from all these places to Gedaliah ben Achikam in Mitzpah. Okay, and so the question that I have now is the next question we have in question number two: is there a good versus an evil poll here? Is there an evil poll? Yeah.
I think the kastim.
Okay, right. So the kastim seem to be right. Maybe, although anything else? So who's let's start with the good. Who's the good? Gedaliah seems to represent the good. Okay, right. So. Okay, and the question is, who's the other side of it? Is there really? Yeah.
Ishmael ben Ishmael, he tries to kill
Okay, although we don't really see him yet, right? In Perek Mem, he's...
Until Yonatan ben Kareach.
Yochanan ben Kareach mentions him, right? So we're still left with kind of a, it's a little bit unclear, but I would argue, at least Hoffman argues that you're right, that it's really Ishmael is really the negative character, although I don't know if I'm, this is one point, maybe this is one place where I'll argue with him, it's not all Hoffman, right? I think that maybe there's something, perhaps even a negative side, maybe even Yochanan ben Kareach. Because if you don't keep reading, right, we have to always talk about, where we are, first reading versus second reading, what we know, what we don't know. What's the sense you get of Yochanan ben Kareach? Is Gedaliah right not to listen to him? Let's ask it that way. Because he doesn't listen to him in Perek Mem. Yes? He refuses. So whose perspective do we take? Right? We don't really know. Right? There's a lot of confusion. And if Yirmiyahu in particular, say for Yirmiyahu in general, we always have to ask ourselves, whose side would we be on? Can we really know? Yirmiyahu leaves us, presents us with a lot of options, many, many times. It's most clear, and for those of you who are familiar with the Parshiyot of Nevuat HaSheker in Yirmiyahu, where Yirmiyahu confronts Nevi'ei Sheker head on, I'm often left wondering whose side I'm supposed to be on, who I'm supposed to be listening to, not who I'm supposed to be, but who would I be listening to if I were in ancient Israel, right? If I did not have the benefit of knowing that Yirmiyahu would be the one that would be correct, right? Because remember, at least in real time, there must have been some confusion going on here. And so I think that we're left with a little bit of confusion as to whose side we should be on, if we should listen to would you listen to Yochanan ben Kareach? I'll leave that as a question, right? At least here, on the one hand, we could say, sure, we should listen to Yochanan ben Kareach because he seems to have good motives, and someone said someone's going to kill you, at least assign him as extra security detail a little bit earlier in the campaign, right? That you're in danger, you should do something about that. What's the other side, though? Why not listen to him?
Yeah. He could have his own personal agenda.
Right? And maybe our suspicions will be reconfirmed by the end, right? Maybe he has some kind of personal agenda here out against maybe Ishmael. He's got something against Ishmael. We don't really know what to do with him. And it's a little, to me, he seems, on the one hand, he seems to be, he seems to be, have pure motives. We can read him as having pure motives. On the other side, we can read him, excuse me, as... is a little, frightened or over, reactionary, some, kind of this mentality of, fearfulness. So he's, and he's running around telling secrets and so on and so forth. I don't know what to do with him now.
Using that logic, why is Gedaliah a good guy? I mean, Gedaliah could be a collaborationist and steering them the wrong
way. And who would say that? Who would say that?
Okay.
Ishmael would probably say that, right? Ishmael, from Ishmael's perspective, Gedaliah is a collaborationist. And remember, Ishmael is next in line, presumably, right? He's Mizera HaMelucha. Zera HaMelucha, they go back and forth, but Tzidkiyahu, at least when he was the last king, when he was appointed, probably was pro-Babylonian. 11 years later, he's certainly not. Okay, and you can go hear Dr. Astor talking about that in the next hour. He does capitulate in the end, but then he gets taken away. And so whether Zerah HaMelucha is interested in resurgence of Malchut Beit David and so on and so forth, sure, he could be, certainly that may be what Ishmael is out for, right? He's you're a collaborationist. But I would say that certainly our narrator would Gedaliah seems to be the innocent victim. Maybe too innocent, right? Maybe he shouldn't have, maybe he should have listened. Sorry?
My opinion, trusting the naive.
Okay, right. In fact, keep that naivete in mind, okay? Because we'll talk about we'll come back to thinking about the story as a whole in a minute. So we're left with this unsettled question as to what the good and the evil is, at least who the evil pole is. And Yochanan ben Kareach, we've already touched on him, right? He gives the advice to Gedaliah, right? So he's the he gives the advice to Gedaliah. In this case, we're not really sure where he fits in this whole thing. It's important that question mark. I like that question mark there because I think one of the important themes that we'll see in this particular unit is the uncertainty. Remember, this is supposed to be this is in some sense the end of the narrative in Sefer Yirmiyahu. So the end of the story, right? Whereas at the beginning of the Perek Mem, right, the beginning of right after the first part of Perek Mem is really just the destruction of Yerushalayim and the immediate aftermath. Right after, and the Latin pasuk vav actually, which is not on this sheet, Yirmiyahu Hanavi submits to Gedaliah, basically goes with Gedaliah to Mitzpah. So that Yirmiyahu almost as though you notice he's not here, right? Until Perek Mem Bet, suddenly he reappears, right? So Yirmiyahu, who until now has been sort of our favorite character in Sefer Yirmiyahu, to some extent, the one we're supposed to identify with, I think, now is off the stage, and we have a new good, and we're almost thinking like, well, maybe these things have settled down now. But then you have this unsettling part of Yochanan Ben Ferech. Yeah, question?
Yeah, I just want to ask something. It looks like Ishmael has very good intelligence, because it looks like not only Ishmael himself is interested in killing Gedaliah, but also the king of Bnei Amon.
I mean, Yochanan has good intelligence.
Amon, so maybe Bnei Amon is interested in taking over, destroying the remnants.
Right. Remember, this is now, there is to some extent a power vacuum, right? The main power is in Bavel, miles and miles away to the east, right?
Why would the king of Bnei Amon want to kill Gedaliah?
Alright, let's ask the question. I'm not going to certainly have an answer, but we can speculate.
Why would he send according to the intelligence?
Right, he has intelligence, and Baalis is in cahoots with Ishmael. What do you think?
So Ishmael would be a partner with the king of Ammon.
As we say, there's a certain sense of power vacuum, at least on the local level, there's a power vacuum. Perhaps the Ammonites are interested in taking over Mitzpah, or more than that, right? If you can get a monarch of the Davidic, or you know, some kind of a ruler from Beit David sitting on the throne as your ally in, let's call it Eberhai Yarden HaMa'aravi, right, the western side of the Jordan, then you now have you're on either side of the Jordan now. You're sitting nicely with a nice alliance, and who knows, you can go to Egypt, maybe there you're attracted to Egypt. You certainly can start something, and maybe, you know, because the Ammonim are also under Bavel. Right, this is their fate is like Israel's fate.
But we have a history before with Ammon. At the time of the judge by the name Iftah.
Right.
We have at the time of Shmuel. So we are not in good terms.
We are not in good terms, but it's always all fair in love and war, right?
Take advantage that most.
They might be taking advantage. Who knows what would have happened to Ishmael if he had succeeded, right? Whether Ishmael would have lasted very long, I don't know. We're not going to speculate, but let's move on to Perek Mem Aleph. Okay, who's the main character in Perek Mem Aleph? Same question. Ishmael. Okay, we're going to say Ishmael is the main character. Why? I think so. Why do we say that? Always the question is why something in main versus peripheral, but okay, why is he? He's got the action, right? He does everything, right? What does he do in Perek Mem Aleph? Let's just, he kills Gedaliah, okay? He's not alone, okay? And notice how he switches from in Perek Mem, you don't really know what's going to be with Ishmael. He's mentioned, both Ishmael and Yochanan are mentioned in a Pasuk Chet. You almost can glance right over it, right? And by the way, they're both mentioned in Sefer Melachim. Sefer Melachim has a much shorter story, account of this. At the end of Perek Kafei, there's about 6 or 7 psukim. The whole story is told there, or whatever is.
What about
Ibrahim doesn't mention this. Not at all. I believe. I'm not going to. The Sefer is there, but I'm not going to do it right now. So he's mentioned, we don't really know what to do with him in Perek Mem yet. We hear about Yochanan, maybe. Now, he kills him, and notice how he's particularly cunning, yeah? Right? His mode of operation is not particularly straightforward. Yeah?
I can't help it. The person last week who killed his wife in Long Island, he came back and pleading and crying, oh, please find information about my wife and him, and please arrest him because he killed his wife.
Yeah.
It's just like, holid, holach, uvoka.
You're here, Ishmael, and he's crying
out here.
Yeah, right. I mean, this is the parasite who screams, I'm an orphan, yes? Right, so it's the same thing here. Yes, and he's going after people who are on a religious mission, right? This is not a particularly necessarily an armed group of people. And there are, in section two, I brought a few of the important parallels to what he does. Okay, if you do the math, he kills 70 people. That number is, of course, significant when you, if you look at, Hoffman suggests that these are that there are parallels to the murder of that Abimelech commits against his brothers, and that Yehu commits against Beit Ahab. In other words, when you try to, when one tries to carry out a coup d'état in some way or another in the Bible, 70 is the number you're going to try to do. That's a suggestion. So that there's the 70 there. There's also mention of civil war. There's allusions to civil war. The text alludes to civil war, specifically to the milchama bein Asa and Basha, right? There's this pit that he throws them into. It's not stama pit. This is a pit that evokes a war between Israel and Yehuda, right? This is a pit that was built as defense against in this civil war. So that what Yishmael does is, given the way the story tells it to us, is not just an act of murder. It is an act of there's some sort of a government overthrow motive here, right? By bringing in allusions to the murders of overthrow of the house of Ahab and Abimelech's actions, then it alludes to that, to the fact that this is a coup d'état in some sense, in a very real sense, but it kind of strengthens it and sort of brings it into a historical perspective almost, or at least it's supposed to evoke that. Now note that Yehu did this with the sanction of Elisha HaNavi, with no question, right? That there's a difference between what Yehu does and what Yishmael does. However, with that said, we have that in mind. The boar is not style of boar, it's a boar that comes from the time of the civil war, and it's in Givon, which is where, what happens in the Brecha in Givon, anyone remember? You can see it? One of the first sites of the battles between Beit David and Beit Shaul. Okay, right after the death of Shaul, the people of Ishbosheth and the people of David, Yakumun Ahanarim Yisachaku Lefaneinu, and the rest is a story that you can read in the last item there, Mayim Rabbi Masher B'Givon. Okay, so you're in a place where civil wars have happened. You're describing it as civil war, and this is sort of we're on the brink of civil war with Yishmael. Okay, so who is the good side in Perek Mem Aleph? I think we'd say Yishmael's the bad side, right? So now who's the good side? It's clear who's the good bad side now. Yep. Yeah, so, all right. Yohanan is emerging as the good, Gedaliah and or Yohanan, right? Gedaliah is the innocent, the murdered innocent. Okay, so we would say, right, so Yishmael is definitely the bad guy. And we would say Gedaliah, maybe. And Yohanan, what makes Yohanan good?
He said it was true.
What he said was, so first of all, right, you confirmed what you didn't know before. Now you know he's correct, number one. So now, ergo, you have the Babli, right? The Babli Nida, that said you should have listened, and you didn't listen, okay? He defeats Yishmael, right? He's the avenger, right? He's going to... we're on his side now. He seems to be the new protector. He emerges almost like a second Gedaliah. He steps in where Gedaliah, in that hole, Yohanan steps in. Kol sherit ha'am asher hashiv Yishmael ben Netanya, achar ikat Gedaliah ben Achikam, gorim anshei milchama, anshim v'taf sarisim, v'yelchu v'yeshu v'yirut kimham asher esel beit lachem, lavo lalechet mitzrayim. They're on their way to Egypt. We don't have a judgment about that one yet, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, but they are afraid of the Kasdim, okay? Because now you've got a problem. There's civil war, civil unrest in a governed territory, never a good thing. So there's a fear that the Kasdim, that's another word for the Bavlim, by the way, right? That there's going to be some kind of retaliation. And so Yohanan seems to step in as the preserver of that. And so Yohanan, we know what he's doing in number three. Another final point about Mem and Mem Aleph, the Yohanan, even though he seems to now at the end of Mem Aleph at least be stepping forward on the stage, really, if you look at read the text through again, not right now, you'll notice that the names of Gedaliah and Yishmael are there more often than might be necessary. you'll see that they're mentioned over and over and over again, as if to drive home the point that it's Yishmael versus Gedaliah. And Yochanan is, at least until now, a secondary character, okay? Which is designed, to highlight aspects of either of some other important character. So in this case, I think his main function, at least in Perek Mem, is to say something about Gedaliah's positive or negative, one or the other. Okay, Membet. Right, so who's the main character here? Yirmiyahu, right? So now all of a sudden we're back, right? Yirmiyahu is back, takes a role in his book. Okay? Now, if before, Yirmiyahu is clearly nowhere here, right? Now where does he stand in the good evil question? Right? He's going to be on the good side, right? So Yirmiyahu is the good. Yirmiyahu now steps in on the good side. And now we're back to, if you think about Sefer Yirmiyahu as a whole, now think of this as the closing part of Sefer Yirmiyahu, even though we thought, well, maybe now Yirmiyahu has stepped aside and has no more place in the story, and that maybe we have a happy or a sad ending, but there's an ending at least. Now Yirmiyahu comes back in. And who's on the other side of him now?
Right?
People who are leaving. The Yoredim, these people who are leaving. But what did, and so, what's Yochanan ben Kareach role here now? Sorry, he's their leader, right? He comes to them with questions.
He's seeking advice. He's not following the advice. So you can't say he's bad yet.
It's true. You can't say he's bad yet. However, a few points. One point is, if you notice, one of the things that this is Hoffman in his commentary, not in his own, points out, that whose God is it? Go back and read Perek Membet for a second. When they ask Yirmiyahu for his advice, they're seeking his advice. They're seeking in a du'a. Okay, whose God is it? You notice how it's whenever they talk to him, it's Elokecha. Now it's never 100% kind of a thing to do this kind of, to subject things to this. It doesn't always work across the map. This happens to be a good example where it does, where when the nation speaks to Yirmiyahu, they say Hashem Elokecha, Hashem Elokecha, and if you look at Pasuk Dalet, Hashem Elokechem, Kedivrechem, says Yirmiyahu. It's not my God, right? It's your God too, right? See, that's why I say it's not perfect. Okay, right? Pasuk Vav says Elokeinu, right? Seems to me that maybe they're okay, right? Maybe they're all right, but then you have this 10-day gap. What do you do with these 10 days? I'm not sure. But then you get them back, and it seems as though Yirmiyahu knows what's on their mind, right? This Hashem Elokecha thing may have keyed him off, or he may have gotten wise to their question. And because he doesn't just say, stay here, he seems to know something else about them, which is what? What do they want to do? He doesn't say just stay here, right? Which would be, kacha, you know, here or there, yeah?
So I'm not going to stay here, I know you're going to go down.
Right, and if you go down, you're going to get into trouble, right? And that, if you want, you're interested in Perek Mem Dalet, you can go read that. But he seems to know, right, that there's something else going on here. And if you look, at Pasuk Kaf, right? That's fine. Right, and so Yirmiyahu seems to fill the good side, okay, and the bad side, to some degree, is left open, but to some degree, we're already getting a sense that Yirmiyahu doesn't really like what they're up to. And now Yirmiyahu, for those of you who know Sefer Yirmiyahu, Yirmiyahu steps back into his role as Yirmiyahu, right? Throughout most of the book of Yirmiyahu is Yirmiyahu versus the people, most of the time, right? Or the king, or something, right? It's Yirmiyahu versus. Now we're back to that Yirmiyahu versus the nation. And then in Perek Mem Gimel, what happens? Who's the main character there now? The Yoredim, led by Yochanan again, okay? Right? And here our good and evil is now clearly resolved, right? Better for worse, right? Yirmiyahu is on the good side, and Yochanan is on the evil side. But notice, all of a sudden, you know, whereas before it was Hashem Elokecha, Hashem Elokecha, Hashem Elokecha, now all of a sudden, right, Sheker atam daber lo shalacha Hashem Elokeinu, right? Our God didn't set him. Suddenly he's your God, right? This is a certain irony. And who's this Baruch ben Neriah, right? He's your second guy. He's Mesikot Chabanu, Masikot Chabanu, Ma'antei Lanu Biyad Kastiv, Amito Tanu, Lagodot Tanu, Lagodot Tanu Bavir. You're a collaborator. We're talking about collaboration, right? There's the accusation, right? You're the collaborator. And there you have it, right? So now we're back to the same old story, right? By the end of Sefer Yirmiyahu, unfortunately, right, there was never a good resolution to the story. There was never even a modicum of peace with, at least from Yirmiyahu's perspective. She would have liked to have seen submission. It never happened. Right? There was hope maybe in the first parak, in Perak Mem Gimel, that there might have been, Perak Mem Aleph, Perak Mem, that there might have been some kind of resolution under Gedaliah ben Ahikam. That never happened. And the book ends with the same balance of power, Yirmiyahu versus everybody else. And Yochanan ben Kareach, now what happens to Yochanan ben Kareach in terms of the development of his character? We move from one side all the way to the other. Yes, and we have now, on second reading, when you go home and read it again, you have to ask yourself, well, so where was he in the beginning? Right? Where did he stand in the beginning? What were his motives there? But we watched him move from the positive side, right, to the negative side of the story. And that's part of what has been identified almost much the same way as thinking Megillat Esther, you have a complete reversal. Right? So the first thing is that characters that are good suddenly become characters that are evil. That's one point. Another point, at least in this story, not maybe not this story, in this story. A second point to note is that events turn in very similar ways. First, you have Gedaliah not listening to advice, as you said before, right? He should have listened to advice, not being naive, right? And that causes tragedy. Okay? And then in the end of the story, you have the same kind of a thing. Tragedy occurs because the nation doesn't listen to Yirmiyahu. Sage advice is offered, but not listened to. Yes?
What is the tragedy that happens to
Yochanan and his followers, and from the perspective of Sefer Yirmiyahu, this is a disaster that they went down to Egypt. They're not submitting to Babel, they're not remaining there. Why exactly is an interesting question. Yirmiyahu seems to be written from the perspective of the group that would say, submit to Babel, stay here, or live in Babel.
But was there any revenge taken by the king of Babel because they left? Or
not that's reported in the Tanakh.
But it's just Yirmiyahu's position that they should have stayed.
Yeah, okay. This is where I'm going to finish formally, but I'll take some questions. Yeah.
Wasn't there a reason why Yirmiyahu people thought about if they should leave Israel? Couldn't you argue that Yochanan knows in the previous Nebuah say you have to leave if you want to survive and you stay or leave?
Not to be trying. Submit to Babel. Maybe. I mean, I'm not sure that would be the. Then on the other thing, leave. They're taken, and he says stay. That's actually the difference. Yeah.
Well, the same thing.